The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. It was before the festival of the Passover, and Jesus knew the hour had come for him to pass from this world to the Father. He had always loved those who were his own in the world, but now he showed how perfect his love was. They were at supper, and the devil had already put it into the mind of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father was putting everything into his hands, and they'd come from God and was returning to God. And he got up from table, removed his outer garment, and taking a towel, wrapped it round his waist. He then poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he was wearing. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "At the moment, you do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." "Never," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "If I do not wash you, you can have nothing in common with me." "Then, Lord," said Simon Peter, "not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said, "No one who has taken a bath needs washing. He is clean all over. You too are clean, though not all of you are." He knew he was going to betray him, and that is why he said, "Though not all of you are." When he had washed their feet and put on his clothes again, he went back to the table. "Do you understand," he said, "what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and rightly so I am. If I then, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you should wash each other's feet. I have given you an example so you may copy what I have done to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the liturgy of the word tonight, fittingly, as we begin the Triduum, we are given a triptych of the Eucharist, three different images that are images of the same thing, that throw light on the same reality, that show us what the Eucharist is. That Eucharist that Christ celebrated 2,000 years ago, and the Eucharist which we celebrate tonight. At the centre of the triptych is the second reading. It's St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, written, the scripture scholars tell us, about the year 50 AD. So it's one of the most early written parts of the New Testament. And it predates the Synoptic Gospels. It predates Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's written within 15 to 20 years of the Lord's death, within 15 to 20 years of the events that he's describing. And Paul tells us that he's received this truth from the Lord, and then he in turn passes it on. And what he does is he describes to us the literal reality of what happened at the Last Supper. He tells us what our Lord did that evening. He says that the Lord took bread and he took wine, and quite simply he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." And then he handed himself over to the apostles and commanded them to continue doing the same thing. And that's what we gather to do this evening, the same thing that Christ asked his apostles to do. That's literally what happened. But in the first reading, we're given the historical context of the Lord's Supper, of the Last Supper. It isn't just any meal. It isn't just a family sitting down to eat together to renew their bonds of affection, good though that is. It is that in one sense, but it is also so much more than that. It's the Passover meal of the Jewish people, that shared ritual meal that at the cost of the life of the Passover lamb wards off the angel of death and marks the beginning of the Israelites' journey from slavery in Egypt to the freedom of the land that God had promised to Abraham. And that's the context in which the Lord celebrates this last meal with his friends, with his disciples. Because, of course, the Lord is about to accomplish that Passover. In the Gospel, on the other side of the letter of St. Paul, if you like, we get John's account of the Last Supper. It's written after the other Gospels, so you know that the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are written about 70 AD, and John is written somewhere between 80 and 90 AD. And so what John does is he doesn't necessarily tell us, he doesn't bother repeating the things that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because they're already in circulation among the Christian community. And what he does instead is he gives us a different perspective on the Eucharist. He gives us, if you like, in that sublime gesture of the Lord, he gives us the meaning of the Eucharist, the meaning of what it is when Christ hands himself over to his apostles, to us. In that gesture of humility, our Lord bending down to wash his disciples' feet, John shows us what the Eucharist does for us. It, the Eucharist, or perhaps better than it, he, Christ, our Eucharistic Lord, wards off the angel of death by washing us clean of our sins. By washing away our sins, Christ holds back all the forces of destruction at work in our lives. And he does that not just tonight, but every time we receive the Eucharist. Those things that bring about our death, that bring about our dissolution, that destroy us, Christ in the Eucharist, by washing us, holds them back. By washing us, Christ in the Eucharist makes us ready for a new life, a passing from all the things that enslave us in this life, our fears, our anxieties, our attachment to those realities that don't really bring us life. Everything both inside ourselves and outside of us that holds us back, that holds us down, or that oppresses us, Christ washes away from us, and he creates us anew in this washing, so that we are free from them and free for the new life that God has prepared for us and wills to share with us. But in order to share this new life, we have to be prepared in our own way to live like Christ. Because remember, in John's Gospel, the Lord also says, I am the way. Christ is the way to this new life, and therefore we must live like Christ if we are to pass over to this new life that God promises us. And that means that we have to, in a sense, we have to change our values, have to look at ourselves differently. So, for example, take everything you think would constitute a successful life. A long life, I suppose that's a given. Money, be nice to have money. Success, prestige, power, influence, worldly recognition, achievement, whatever form that takes, awards, Nobel Prizes, Oscars, knighthoods, a big car, a big house, lots of holidays. They're not bad things in themselves, but look at them. Look at all those things that we think of as successful. And then look at Christ. 33 years old. And going to his death. And he knows it. He's taken his clothes off. No smart clothes for our Lord. His clothes have been taken off. And he's down on his knees, performing the duty of a slave for men that he knows will betray and abandon him within hours. And yet he's down on his knees before them, forgotten, despised, taken for nothing. But in that service of love, redeeming the world, saving you and me from our stupidity, our ugliness, our malice, and our weakness. Every time we receive the Eucharist, Christ gets down on his knees and washes us clean. And every time he does that, he just places a question mark over all our priorities and ideas of success. And of course, the answer to that question mark is how we choose to live our lives. In this most beautiful of the church's liturgies, we enact the night of the Last Supper. So in a moment there'll be the washing of feet. So we'll enact that gesture of Christ. And then at the end of Mass, as the Blessed Sacrament is taken from the altar here and the tabernacle is left empty and taken to the altar of repose in the side chapel there, you're invited to follow on in the procession, just as the apostles followed our Lord across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives there to pray. And you're invited to pray with the Lord, to watch and pray. So please do follow the procession at the end of Mass. And if I can invite those who volunteered to have their feet washed to come forward and take their places at the front of the church.